Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
One of the things I enjoy being in the kingdom of God is hearing people's stories of deliverance, how God has brought them from a horrible pit, miry clay, and set their feet upon a rock. Sounds like scripture, Nathan. But also, he puts a new song in their heart.
Yeah.
I found that to be true. The individuals that I've had the privilege of knowing, pastoring, working with, and they've experienced the divine deliverance of God, I believe there's an extra portion of urgency. They seem like, I know what God has done for me, and I want it to happen for you.
Yeah, absolutely. The people that have been down to the pit, to the bottom, they've gotten to rock bottom, and the only place to look is up. Once they've been brought up out of that pit, put on a firm, flat place to stand and walk, they can't forget where God has brought them from. And so their testimony, their word of deliverance of what God has done in their life, how Jesus has set them free, that word is powerful. I mean, it's passionate. And it's the Bible says people will hear, they will see, and they will fear God. They will follow him based on that testimony of deliverance.
You and I had the privilege of working together in a church, and one of the men, and I'm just going to use his first name, that we had the privilege of working with was Jim. And he served as an usher, and he would hand out bulletins and different things like that, and he would be there for the practices. He was there, and he had a heart issue, and one of those nights that he was there, he began to have some issues and pain, and I remember you talking with him and saying, yeah, but I need to stay here. I'm making up for lost time. So there's a lot of men and women out there that they feel like their life, the first part of their life was wasted on things of the world, and now they've come to know Christ, and what a difference they're making. And their story speaks to hope for others, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of Jesus' mission on earth. While he was here on earth walking, and even today, as his spirit is going forth through his people, part of his mission is to, he said, proclaim freedom to the captives. And that's in Luke 4 and other places. But Jesus is proclaiming freedom. He's declaring, you can experience freedom in me. You can know freedom. You can step out of that pit. You can be lifted up, put your feet on a rock. And we know that Jesus does that. He specializes in that. And so that's our prayer, that people will experience that freedom.
And if you've been delivered, that means you're saved. You've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Share that with others, that others might see Jesus in you. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions here on this weekend. And we're thankful that you would take time out of your schedule to listen. Or if you're driving and you have your radio on, or you live in listening by app, however you're listening, we're thankful that you are. And today's program, I think, will not only share with you about missions, but it'll give you hope for some people out there. And it may be answers for people who are looking for something that they just don't know where to find help. So today we have in the studio a great ministry, and representing that ministry is Josh Barton. Josh, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, it is Home of Grace.
Home of Grace.
Now, I want to just tell you, two of the sweetest words in the English language is grace and home. You put them together, and it's an awesome place.
That's a beautiful place.
And I know from quite a few folks the difference that Home of Grace is made in their lives. Therefore, it makes a difference in the family's life, and therefore it makes a difference in the church life, in the community. Home of Grace is making a difference.
Thank you.
And we want to people say, well, what is it? Tell us a little bit about Home of Grace.
Home of Grace is a faith-based addiction recovery program on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. My grandfather actually started it 60 years ago. This January will be 60 years. So we have
1965.
January 2nd, 1965, the first man entered our program. Here we are, 35,000 plus men and women later, 60 years later. Just awesome to be a part of that ministry.
So it's third generation Barton?
Third generation Barton, yes, sir.
That's quite a history. Sounds a little bit like AFR, Don Wildman, Tim Wildman. Did you just grow up in the ministry knowing the difference it made?
I did love the ministry, and I grew up, I mean, from the time I was born in a bassinet, my mom and dad worked there, and I was brought out there. And so I enjoyed hanging out with the guys, and we would play volleyball in the creek and softball, and I just had a blast with them. But I didn't grow up from a family expectation of being a part of the Home of Grace. Even though I loved it, I wasn't groomed necessarily to say this is where you need to be. But as I went off to college and I knew that my heart was at Home of Grace, and I got my business degree from Mississippi College, and when I graduated, I worked for the state for about 2 years and then had the opportunity to come start at the bottom level of Home of Grace 21 years ago.
When you say bottom level, let's tell exactly. We know people that go there would be people who have an addiction, alcohol or drugs, right, or a combination. But what about people that start at the bottom working there?
Well, we were building picnic tables and little portable buildings. We were trying to utilize our guys to find ways to generate some revenue to help make the program what it is. And so I started in the work program. I eventually started working in the programs department. Then I was in business finance. Then I was the associate director. And during my time as associate director is when my dad developed Alzheimer's or Lewy body dementia. He was only 54 years old. And so I became the executive director a little over 11, 12 years ago now, but at the beginning of my dad's Alzheimer's journey.
Yeah. Well, we know something about that because our founder, Don right. Wildman, same
situation.
And so, and again, ministries like Home of Grace, American Family Radio, they may not have a direct connection, but we're connected.
Absolutely.
Because of the calling in our lives, of the grace of God. And so it's a joy, again, to hear about it. And so 60 years, and you're still going and still making a difference in people's lives.
Absolutely. So, you know, about the program, we have a three-month program and a 30-day program. When a man or woman is in our program, they're getting weekly individual counseling, group counseling, classroom instructions, workshops. We pour so much into those men and women that's just give them the tools that they need to make it. But of all the things that takes place at the Home of Grace, the guys and the girls often talk about it is the chapel services. It's their encounter with Christ that makes the difference. Of all the things that we do, it's the stuff that we're not even around for sometimes. Them at the altar is where the transformation takes place.
Okay. The individuals that I know who have been there, they shared with me the same thing. They said, listen, we needed the rest, but what we got at the chapel was more of Jesus and equipment to live godly in Christ Jesus. And some of them, like, they were kind of like me. They were Babticostals, I call them, you know.
Met the Babticostals.
Yeah, and the ones I talked to said, man, they get down on it, and they share truth. And, you know, for guys, it's in an addiction. And I don't know about the female. We want to talk about the women's side as well. But those guys, a lot of the things that they're addicted to, it has a lot to do with personality. It has a lot to do with their, you know, right. And when they see a man up there sharing the word of God and strength and power, it registers with them, Josh.
It absolutely does. Those individuals are very raw and real when they share their story. And sometimes us Christians have been Christians for a long time in churches. We don't intend to, but sometimes we can have a little bit of a mask on. And people ask you, how are you doing? And you say, I'm doing great. How are you doing? I'm doing. But someone that's been through hell and back, and I don't know of another way to describe what their journey is. when they come out of that and they've been transformed, they're open, they're raw, and they're real. And so when we take our choir to different churches, or there's testimonies that are brought to churches, that church becomes alive. And you start seeing these people that's had this little shell about them all this time come up and say, my husband's got a problem. He's had a problem for years. My son's got a problem. I've been struggling with this addiction. And all of a sudden, it's like the veil is lifted. And there's revivals that take place in churches just from a radical addict that goes into a transformation and says, I'm ready to be real and share.
You mean the mask began to come off?
The mask comes off.
And that would be good for anyone. And they may not be in a drug or alcohol addiction, but it's a mask that people wear at church. Right. Janie and I call it the ministry of the church parking lot.
Right.
You know, they drive up on right. the church parking lot, and all of a sudden the fussing stops, the aggravating right. stops, and they put on their new mask and they walk in. But after they see some of these guys and women who have come out of this and they're just vulnerable, they're open and truthful, it makes them look at themselves before they put the mask on. And that's awesome. Well, tell us about I know you have a website. Tell us about that. We want to get that in about two or three times because people say, how do I get a hold of Home of Grace?
Absolutely. Homeofgrace.org will answer any questions they have. Our Home of Grace Facebook, we have 30,000 alumni and families and followers on there. So if they want to watch a whole bunch of miracles, testimonies of journeys, if you're a mom or a dad with a spouse or a child that's going through addiction, that's not ready, that won't help, and you're looking for someone to reach out or ask questions to, we have a Home of Grace Facebook forum that's specifically for the families of those that's dealing with addiction. That way they can ask other moms or other dads or spouses. So there's a lot of resource on homeofgrace.org, whether they're ready for help or whether they're looking for future help.
Okay. And it's in Van Cleve, Mississippi.
The men's campus is in Van Cleve. The women's campus is about 15 miles from there
in Goshen.
The big city of Goshen.
Now, if you want to try to spell Goshen the way it sounds, you won't find it, right?
No, absolutely not.
But if you're Gautier or something
that's
like
exactly
that, I always laugh at Goshen.
G-A-U-T-I-E-R, yes.
Yeah, it is fun. Okay, now you've been there for several years and directing executive director
Correct.
Now. And y'all have a full board. And the reason I share this is because this is well established. The accountability is significant there. And it's bigger than the Gulf Coast now. You're reaching people all over the state, but all over other states.
Yes, 20-something states this past year. We actually have about five or six of our alumni that have their own addiction recovery programs in different parts of the country. In fact, we were just talking earlier, today's the 8-year anniversary from a gentleman that went through our program that now has his own program in Kokomo, Indiana called Valley of Grace.
Amen.
And radical story in and of himself.
Tell us about, because I love Kokomo. Been there two or three times, got friends there, and I love Kokomo.
Incredible story. Joey Bennett this is a little graphic, but he was driving down the road hallucinating on drugs, became very paranoid that the police were entering his car while he was driving. So he took a knife to his own throat and jumped out of the car while it's driving down the highway. His wife received a phone call that he was at the ER, and how she found out about Home of Grace, I have no idea. But he was able to get him to the Home of Grace. About a year later, after he's home and doing well, he's walking into his living room, and his wife said, you're not going to believe this, but I had a dream. Or she said, I had a dream last night that you were running an addiction recovery program. He said, you're not going to believe this, but I've been praying about that for about 2 months, but I didn't want to tell you. So they reached out to me and said, what do you think about this? And I said, I believe God's been calling us to replicate. I said, it scares me to death, and I'm not ready for it, but I'll be a free consultant, and I'll help you any way I can. So I started going up there and sharing with them, and they started sharing their story. I said, let's start by doing this. You start sharing your story and you start sending people to the Home of Grace. And what you're going to do is you're going to build an alumni network that's going to be your financial support and your volunteer support. So he started sharing his story, and it took off like wildfire. The Indianapolis Press picked up his story. He sent probably 100 to 150 men and women through our program. And while all that started taking place, they got a board of directors together. They purchased a beautiful property. And now they have an awesome facility called Valley of Grace in Kokomo, Indiana, all from Joey Bennett, his wife, Darcy. So I went up there to help them get that started and maybe gave them some good tools. But I feel like I've learned as much from them. Yeah. They've done an awesome job on fundraising. They've created family stuff that was helpful for me. His wife, Joey, was like, I mean, his wife, Darcy, said, Joey came down there and got his life changed, but we were a train wreck of what he left once he went to Van Cleef. She said, what about the spouses? And so she started putting things together for the spouses that's been helpful for us to be able to better serve the spouses of clients in our program.
Yeah, it's difficult for that person that's been changed at Home of Grace to go back into a home that is so... All homes are dysfunctional right, to a yeah. degree, even Adam and right, Eve, yeah. okay? Right. So to go back there that's terrifically dysfunctional, that's tough. So, yeah. man, what a difference that'll make.
Absolutely. Like in their case, they had a really solid family group, family home. But if you're the dysfunctional one, when you leave it in dysfunction just based on the fact that you've been causing all the problems all those years. And so they were able to have a healthy family, unit after the fact. It's been a beautiful situation there.
Well, amen. Tell us a little bit about, I know the men, I know the women, and tell us a little bit about the women, or is it the same program, 30 days and 3 months?
Yes, primarily, our primary program, our bread and butter is the three-month program. That's really, you can make the most changes with an individual during that time and still give them the action plan for them to follow, where their support group's going to be, where their church is going to be, all those types of things. 30 days for us is really only geared towards someone that's about as long as they can take off work, their wife and kids, if that's about the extent. And then you really have to have a solid action plan because you're really just getting sober for the most part in 30 days. Right. And it's hard to create patterns and rhythms that you'll be able to continue in that time. So we have to work hard at that. But we do offer that for those families, and we have a three-month program, and we also have an additional 3 month or 6 month stay
right.
that someone could potentially stay for.
After the 3 months, do those individuals that's been there and they choose to stay, do they become kind of facilitators and helpers along the way?
They do. Even though we have just under 50 full-time staff within the Home of Grace, we do utilize what we call phase three guys. They're almost like servant leaders or pace setters for the rest of the group.
Right.
And so, when new guys come into the program, they're loving on them. They're welcoming them. They're able to let them know I was right where you were 3-4 months ago. And so they really help establish the culture, keep the culture what it needs to be among the body.
Before an individual goes there, do they have to have a time period from the time they took the drug, was intoxicated, and have a time where they come in? They don't come in intoxicated.
Correct. No. So if they need detox, we have detoxes that we refer them to.
Right.
Some substances don't require that need detox. You can be ready to go straight into the program. But other substances, depending on what you've used, the volume that you've used, and for how long, they may need to be detoxed and ready to be able to come into the program.
And I'm asking this, I've observed this, but I want your thoughts on it. I may have observed wrongly because I wasn't there looking. But those that come in knowing they need help, desperate for help, and they get that 3 months, when they leave, they've got everything they need in order to
right.
have success and victory.
Absolutely. Now, my grandfather used to say, we have 100 guys in the program right now. He said, out of 100 guys, we have about 10 or 15 that came here that's absolutely ready for help. They're ready to do everything it takes to change. He said, then we have about 10 or 15 that's here only because they want their spouse back, their job back. They really don't want help at all, but they're just here. And he said, we have a group, that large group right in the middle. He said, they don't like all the pain and the anguish and the aggravation, embarrassment that come from addiction, but there's some aspects of that they want to hold on to. He says, our job at the Home of Grace is to get that middle group up to that sold out group that's ready to make a complete change. He said, but sometimes one of those bottom 10 or 15, sometimes they get help in spite of themselves. There'll be a chapel service or there'll be a testimony or something that touches their heart. And there's a transformation that takes place anyway.
Well, tell us some more. I heard you had stories. Just give us another story or two.
Well, I've got thousands of client stories, but one of my favorite stories, this gentleman I got to be close with, was what I would consider one of the hardest using drug addicts I'd ever worked with. It's a guy by the name of Chuck. And when he came into the Home of Grace, he didn't have a single vein left in his body that he could shoot up. It looked like scabs from the end of his arms, end of his legs. And it would take him two or three times to try to shoot up, even to get one to take. And so he came to the Home of Grace, and every day was a struggle for him for about three or four days of him going through battles. And I can't make it. I'm not going to stay. And finally he left. So about a week and a half later, 2 weeks later, I made friends with him. I called to check on him. I said, "Hey, Chuck, how are you doing?" He said, "Josh, I'm doing a lot better. I'm just smoking crack. I'm not messing with any needles." And for him, he was telling the absolute truth. "I'm just smoking crack. I'm not messing with any needles." Well, about a week and a half later, he goes back to trying to shoot up again, and it sends him to the hospital. The hospital could not find a vein in his body to give him an IV, so they had to run a PICC line straight to his heart. 3 days later, he gets enough strength that he takes the PICC line off, slips out of the hospital, goes home, and tries to shoot cocaine straight through the PICC line. So I show up at the hospital to visit with him, and they said he left and he took our equipment. So I go to Chuck's house, and when I pull into his house, I go up there, and I said, "Man, we've got to go back to the hospital." He was trying to hide the equipment. I said, "They're going to send the police after their equipment." He said, "Let's go." So I brought him back to the hospital, and when they took those stitches out and they pulled out what looked like a straw that went straight to his heart, his eyes got about the size of a half dollar. And when we got back in the car, he said, "Man, I tried to shoot up through that thing twice, and it didn't work. I would have died." He came back to the Home of Grace, and every day was a different problem or challenge he was going through mentally, spiritually, and I related it to like an onion. Every day, this layer of the onion, he would be, you know, "Can't deal with this. I'm going. And that onion layer would come off, and he would get relief. Then the next day, that new fresh part of the onion, couldn't forgive himself, couldn't forgive this, whatever. That next layer of onion came off. Anyway, Chuck radically changed his life. His house was the crack house. Our counselors went, remodeled, repainted his house. He and his dad had not spoken in 8 years, and you could throw a rock between the two of their houses. They lived that close. The only time they spoke was if they were cursing each other on the way out the door. He ended up taking his dad in to take care of his dad in the latter part of his life. And Chuck passed away just a couple years ago from emphysema. But that's one of the most radical transformations I've ever seen, someone that used that volume of drugs for that long a period of time.
Only God.
He sent his drug dealer to the Home of Grace. His drug dealer got saved. So, yeah, just a radical transformation.
Amen. When you hear those stories, and those of you who are listening, and what a mission this is. This is Home of Grace, their mission to reach these individuals. And they know the real reaching is through Jesus Christ. Yes, they can give them equipment on what to look for, where to turn to, accountability. But that transition is made within. And so we're talking about that. Give us I told you we was going to do it two or three times. Give us the website and how people can contact Home of Grace.
Homeofgrace.org is the right website. It'll have our phone number on there where they can reach out to our missions team. And then social media, Facebook, Home of Grace. There's a lot of alumni stories, alumni connections on there as well. But homeofgrace.org will get them where they need to be.
Okay. We got time for at least one more story, and because stories really hit people, and because I got a feeling there's some people who are listening that will identify with Chuck. They will identify with the man, Joey
and
from Kokomo. Give us one more at least.
So, yeah, this will be a 3-in-1 story. So we have a gentleman by the name of Lauren Carrier from Opelousas, Louisiana, came through our program about 25 years ago, young guy, was really bad off in Opelousas, came in, radically changed his life, just did so well, went back and started a ministry in Opelousas, which is the poorest area in Louisiana for inner city kids, called Hope for Opelousas, doing amazing things. Well, people started seeing Lauren's story, and they started sending other people into the Home of Grace. So Lauren's first cousin, Johnny, was introduced into Home of Grace. So he sent his first cousin, Johnny, radically changed his life. He went back. Now Johnny has a 120-bed recovery program in Opelousas called the Refinery. So Johnny started sending people to the Home of Grace. And so earlier when I shared that same story on the air as well, he was texting me saying, I'm hearing people talking about Home of Grace and how it changed my life and the people that he sent to the Home of Grace. So that was about three in one, three different people, all started from one man that got his life changed from Opelousas, who sent his first cousin, who just continued to send people.
That's that concentric circles of concern, a pebble into a pond, and it goes. One life, Josh, touches dozens of lives, and a changed life is multiplied. I was reading this morning in my quiet time with the Lord, John chapter 4, with the woman from Samaria, and she happened to have a one-on-one encounter with Jesus when she thought she could go to the well without seeing anybody. But Jesus told her everything she knew about herself and then gave her hope. And guess what she does? She goes back and tells everybody. And it said here very plainly, and this goes along with what we're saying missionally, it says that a lot of them's lives were changed because of the woman's testimony. But then it says, because Jesus stayed there 2 days and they heard his words, their lives were changed and touched other lives as well. That's Home of Grace. Tell us about, give us one, those people who are listening and they so know someone, is there anybody that's hopeless?
I've not found a single hopeless person yet. We all, as long as we have a heartbeat, God's got a plan and a purpose for a life. So there's still hope. Continue praying for your loved one. Reach out for help. There are thousands and thousands of people going through the same thing that they're going through. Sometimes they feel like they're all alone. They're the only person dealing with the pain and struggle that they're dealing with, the spouse or the person themselves. Reach out, homeofgrace.org, for help, and we want to be there for them.
What makes the difference is you can go to a drug rehab, and they'll try to replace that drug addiction with their education and everything. But Home of Grace, they give them what they need that way, but they also give them Jesus. Well, let me ask you one more question. Have you found anything that replaces Jesus in a heart of a person?
No, that is the only thing that makes a difference.
That's why Exploring Missions wanted to do this interview. Those of you who are listening, it may be you may have a jail ministry and you know somebody in that jail. You can tell them about Home of Grace. Some of you are teaching a class and you see these signs of a young man. One more thing, age-wise, how young can they be?
And 18
still,
and older.
18 and older, male and female, either way. And you know those people, Home of Grace is a place of hope. That is it. Josh, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Been a blessing.
God bless you, brother.
God bless.